Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
2:39 this Monday afternoon. Alderman Raymond Lopez is on with us. And Alderman, we have very serious things to get to. But first, I just want to mention what just came up in my Twitter timeline from you. Alderman Ray Lopez, 15th Ward. Sadly, I remember this dance, and it's a flashback to Happy Democratic National Convention Day, and everyone's doing the Macarena. They got everybody, not so well. Some people don't have gifts in the dance department, but they're all jumping in and doing it. Were you there back then?
I was not there, but I have vivid memories of that song. Like, burned into my psyche for life now.
Oh, like 20 years ago, maybe. Oh, my gosh. Woo! But it is that week. It's a couple days here. Are you participating in any way? Are you? What are you doing?
You know what? As odd as it is to say this, thankfully, I am not part of this convention this year. I was 4 years ago. And I'm glad that I get to just focus on the home front as we speak.
A lot to focus on, too. Okay, so I saw another post you had over the weekend in reaction to some of the protests that broke out, some of them that turned violent. And your comment was, arrest them all and be done with it. This BS has got to stop. I just want to ask you about that first and then kind of dig into what your suggestions would be. How do we approach this?
Well, obviously that comment has gotten a lot of attention. I think it's got an almost 2,000 likes on Twitter. But I think my assertion is correct. You know, we can protect the First Amendment. We can protect people's right to protest. That's a God-given right of our Constitution, like many of the rights enshrined in that document. But what we're seeing are people who are organized, people who are trying to manipulate others' emotions just for the sake of anarchy and destroying the city and the fabric of our society as we see it. And we keep playing games with them. We keep trying to kowtow to them, and hopefully, you know, we're going to massage them to go left or right. And clearly, they have no intention of listening to us or to society. So when we see them act up, when we see them come with sharpened sticks and frozen water bottles and umbrellas to be used to hide them, you know, we should just arrest them for what they are, which are mob, for people doing mob action, in particular on Michigan Avenue.
So I guess this is where it's taken so much heat. You're not suggesting that you go in there and anybody who's peacefully protesting, do they all get kind of swept up in the arrest, or do you have to sort of pick and choose?
No, I think that you can allow in Chicago very easily peaceful protesters. We've done that for years. But what we're seeing is that these select few individuals, these agitators, as the superintendent called them, I call them our organized looters and anarchists. Those individuals aren't there to protest. They're not there because of any particular social justice cause. They're there just to cause anarchy and manipulate the situation. And those are the individuals we need to extract so that people trying to exercise their First Amendment rights can do so without being put in a dangerous situation unnecessarily.
Okay, so you're mayor. You say police arrest everybody who throws a bottle, anybody who does anything dangerous or violent, anybody who crosses the line.
Absolutely. I think that is the technique that our superintendent at the time, Gary McCarthy, did during NATO, that, you know, people had the right to protest, but if you came looking to start trouble, you were immediately removed from the situation. This way people could peacefully protest, police could be safe, community could be safe, but the agitators were no longer part of the equation, and I don't see any reason why we can't do that now.
What do you make of the agitators?
You know, I see them on different levels, but what I saw this weekend really disturbs me, because there were a group of young people from my neighborhood. They were from an organization that was born in my ward, Increase the Peace. And this organization I have history with, because I've battled with them over my efforts to try and rid the communities of gangs. And they've been one of the biggest gang enablers in my neighborhood. And now I see them downtown. Now I see them doing press conferences saying how they were attacked by police because they're black and brown. But what I also saw was videos showing them arm in arm, willingly and purposely going to engage police for the sole purpose of causing an incident. I seen them stand next to the gentleman swinging skateboards. I seen one of their members trying to spray some chemical spray on a fallen officer's face. And what worries me is that this group that did this isn't just some random neighborhood group. It's one of the street outreach groups that Mayor Lori Lightfoot claimed on Friday was going to be used to help keep the peace in our city. Clearly, those groups and organizations that we fund to help us reduce violence in our neighborhoods, if they are following this lead, are working against us, using money from public and private partnerships to fund them to destroy the relationship between police and to create a false narrative of attack by the police department, because they are the actual aggressors in these situations, as was evident by the police video that was released Sunday.
One of the things you hear, Alderman Lopez, and you're no stranger to this, is that these interrupter types can be used, and there are several different organizations. You're mentioning one of them. I don't know if they do interruption, but that they sort of are part of the community. They're embedded in the community already, and they know the players. They know the gang members, and that they try to get ahead of violence, and they try to de-escalate, mm-hmm. right? Are you a fan of those types of programs? And is that what this one is supposed to be?
I am 100% in favor of having these types of de-escalation organizations, these community organic organizations, help us work with our police to build that bridge so that we can de-escalate many situations in our neighborhoods locally. But what I think the danger is that if we don't have metrics, if we don't follow what their activities are when we're not watching, they may in fact be doing more harm than good, which is why I thought it was surprising that Public Safety Committee Chairman Chris Taliaferro had introduced a resolution wanting to know how the city's Department of Public Health had been allocating the $6 million dedicated towards anti-violence programming, and that he wanted to see what metrics were used to determine success and how these grants were given. And that hearing was squashed by the administration on one day after it was made, after it was posted. And I can only question why the mayor, who prides herself on transparency, would not want to have a discussion about how our tax dollars are going to support organizations and how we're judging them as being successful.
Yeah, I know your house, hasn't your house been targeted by folks? Is it folks linked to different activist groups in your neighborhood?
No, to be clear, my house and office have been targeted by gang members.
Gang members.
Actual gang members, and we are confident that we know who they are and that our police and federal partners are involved and engaged in that. But even then, that's an example of the same thing that we've seen throughout the city. Mm-hmm. Lip service by the mayor to tell me how much she stands with me, how she'll never let it happen again. Three times later, it continues to happen.
Why aren't you working with police on that? I mean, I'm sure the mayor doesn't exactly personally walk over there and handle it, right? I mean, you're relying on your...
No, I'm pretty sure I can say that the mayor is very much dictating from on high how the police department runs its operations. I don't think anybody really believes that the superintendent is making policy that has not been cleared or approved by the mayor. And I will say that my investigation is no different. Mm-hmm. I've heard her say on TV and in press conferences how she's concerned and how she will never let anything happen to people like myself, and has done nothing to actually help my commanders locally bring this to an end. So I don't believe that when I hear the lip service of how much she's going to put resources to protecting neighborhoods, I know from firsthand experience that that is only an empty promise.
Aren't they investigating? Your local police are investigating. Have they built a case? And if you know who they are, it would seem like a pretty solid case to be able to create. Perhaps there's video. I mean, isn't that something that is in the works?
You know, the gang investigation unit picked up the case. They have been doing a yeoman's job trying to put the pieces together to make the case for the individuals. So I am thankful that they are on it, but I know that there's been no additional support or resources given to them or to the local commander whose district I live in to try and help address the situation with the gangs. Mm-hmm. Unlike the mayor's home, which has 400 officers at any given time protecting her block.
So there are some, you may be aware that, you know, you're saying let's take a harder, kind of more a bolder police approach to protests in general. That if you're caught doing something and it breaks the law or crosses the line, they should be making more arrests. And I hear you when you say that. You've heard some of your colleagues, they just signed a statement, I'm just looking at this now, condemning the police crackdown and the police response that was already out there. They thought that was too much. A couple of aldermen have signed it, Byron Cijo Lopez and Rosanna Rodriguez Sanchez. Andre Vasquez, Cook County Commissioner Brandon Johnson have signed it, among others. What do you think about that?
You know, with respect to my elected colleagues, I really don't know what world they live in. You know, I know that we have to allow for First Amendment protests. We have to allow for free speech. And I get that, and 100%. And I don't want your listeners to think otherwise. But when you cross the line, there must be repercussions if what you're doing is illegal or dangerous. And we cannot keep intertwining the two to give cover for the bad by lumping them in with the good. And that is what I continue to see by many politicians, that they want to give cover to those who are trying to destroy our city, to those who are just trying to express themselves. And let's be clear about something, too, that this is no longer about social justice. This is about co-opting anger and frustration in the communities for a radicalized agenda. Because at the end of the day, we have not answered any of the social justice calls that many people have been wanting since the murder of George Floyd. We haven't come up with police accountability. We haven't addressed inequity and investment. We haven't done a lot of the things that the mayor herself ran on. Yet we are continuously having these propped up, organized, protesting events that are just designed to create more animosity towards law enforcement and government by those individuals who are supposedly working with us. And I wish that my colleagues who are elected would understand that the more that they give permission for people to do illegal or wrong things without repercussions, yeah, once that mindset takes hold, that will reverberate back into the neighborhoods. It won't be a protest downtown anymore. It'll be your neighborhoods where people think they can live without consequence, which is exactly what brought those gangbangers to my house, to my front door, to destroy my windows, to my office, because they feel that they are emboldened to do whatever they want and get away with it. And to be perfectly honest, this is not their Chicago. This is our Chicago, and we have to keep fighting for it and show that there are repercussions for those who choose to destroy it.
You make great points, you wonder where do we go from here? Well, part of that answer is understanding that doesn't represent Chicago, and that the overwhelming majority of people here do want social justice, and it cannot come fast enough, and yet these types of violent outbursts are what I say is they're defunding some of our programs, because if businesses leave and people leave, we have fewer resources. And you're on the finance committee, so you know you're looking for money to
pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills, and you're looking for money to fund the existing programs with some holes ahead of us. And so it's important. It's important to keep folks here.
Well, I will say is that we do have a direction to go. Chicago can only go forward. We don't have the option or luxury of going backwards. And as we look to see what happens next, you know, all we can hope is that, as we saw a week ago when protesters came to Englewood and were rebuffed by the residents because they did not want outside nonsense coming into their neighborhoods, mm-hmm, that mentality has to make its way throughout every neighborhood in the city of Chicago. Right. This is our city. If anyone's going to change it, it will be us, and not people who are just bent on destroying it.
Thank you for your time this afternoon, Alderman. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Stay safe.
You too. Stay safe and be well. That's Alderman Raymond Lopez. He is, again, he believes that the police should take an even tougher stance against the protesters.